Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years back, there was a video that went across the internet like wildfire. For lack of a better word, it went viral. In the video, there were two preachers. Now, not the kind of preachers that have their church and their congregation and they kind of shepherd a flock, if you will. But the kind of preachers that go from one place to another place to another place, always with one audience after the other. And they were sitting down at a table, and they had kind of a TV-led Bible study. They were covering the book of Amos, if I remember correctly. And all of a sudden, they ceased to do the Bible study, and they began to talk. They had a kind of a side topic that they were going off on. And the side topic was them trying to justify why it is that they needed their own private jets. And they continued on with this discussion. At one point in time, one of them made the argument that to fly in coach was like flying in a tube of demons. And then the other one said that to be in a commercial airline, one really couldn't pray correctly. At least not in a commercial airline. I think one of the reasons that it went viral, went all over the place, was because it was funny. But it was funny because of all the bad reasons, of all the wrong reasons. These two were sitting there trying to talk about the topic of stewardship, but they were doing an absolutely awful job of it. And I think that we as God's people have heard discussions on stewardship a lot, and we have heard a lot of very bad talks on stewardship all around us. And I think sometimes when we hear it done poorly, so often, we have a tendency to put blinders on. We have a tendency to kind of try not to pay attention. Even when the word stewardship comes up, we try to avoid it or maybe look the other way. Now, that's not the only reason. There's another one as well. Sometimes when we get to the topic of stewardship, we hear God's law and it impacts our lives and our hearts, and we don't like that. We don't like to feel God's law accusing us. And so we avoid it for those reasons as well. But the truth is that the topic of stewardship is found all over the place in Scripture. And we do ourselves a disservice if we avoid it. In fact, we dare not avoid it. I know sometimes to even bring about that word causes us to cringe a little bit. But we dare not avoid the topic. It's found all over the place in some of the most unexpected places. In fact, one of my favorite verses that deals with stewardship is actually in the book of Genesis, in chapter 23. Abraham goes to Beersheba and he plants a tamarisk tree. That's it. But you have to ask the question, why did he plant the tamarisk tree? You see, a tamarisk tree is actually a fast-growing tree in good climates. However, Beersheba is not a good climate. It's a very dry and arid climate. And because of that, the tree wouldn't have grown very fast at all. Maybe just an inch or two a year. And so you have this tamarisk tree that Abraham will never receive shade from, for that's what they're for. They're shade trees, mostly. In fact, his children will probably never get shade from this tree. Maybe, just maybe, his children's children would receive shade from this tree. So why does Abraham plant the tree? There's several good reasons. One of which, though, is that Abraham understands that this is God's land and that this is his promised land, right on the edge of the Negev Desert. And that's God's promised land. And he has made a promise to Abraham that his descendants would live there. And so Abraham, trusting in the promises of God, knowing that this is God's land, this is God's earth, plants a tree that he will never benefit from. But possibly, just possibly, his children's children might. And so he plants it there. And even in our text for today, the parable of the two sons in the vineyard. One says he's not going to go out in the vineyard and work, and then he decides that he will. And then the other one says, oh yeah, I'm going to go out into the vineyard, I'm going to go work. But then he never does. And that question of who is the one doing the will of the Father? And of course, it's the one who says that he's not going to go work, but then ultimately does. And it's all about repentance. But did you notice something else in the parable? In fact, all of the vineyard parables, whether we're talking about the sons, whether we're talking about the tenants, whether we're talking about those people that were hired just for the day, all of these parables of the vineyard have something in common. It's not their vineyard. It's not the son's vineyard. Oh yes, they might inherit it one day, but it's not theirs today. The tenants, it wasn't their vineyard. And yes, even those that were hired to work, they weren't hired to work their own vineyard. It was someone else's. It was the master of the house. It was the Lord's. It was the Father's vineyard that they go to work. And once we understand that, once we understand that the son and the tenants and the workers were acting as stewards of this vineyard, all of a sudden this idea of stewardship really does kind of open up quite a bit. It's all about understanding where we are and who we are. When we wake up in the morning, that is a gift from God. This is His earth. This is His place. He owns it. The fact that we can get up and go and work is a gift from God. And we have been called to do so many different things and aspects in this life. That's called vocation, what we've been called to do. We've been called to act as fathers and sons, as mothers and daughters. And yes, even when we talk about our career, we have certain gifts and skills, and we have been called to utilize those gifts. Whether it's a technician or a teacher or a farmer or a preacher or whatever it happens to be, we have been called to utilize our gifts for the glory of God and for the benefit of others. And yes, even inside the realm of the church, we have been called to utilize our gifts for the benefit of the church. And that's going to look different depending on who you are and what your skill set is. That's going to look different, how you can benefit the church. St. Paul tells us that we are all members, like the body of Christ, and we all have different places. But you know, there's other aspects that are also the same. We are children of God. And yes, we have been called in all these various areas, but we've also been called in other areas that are very much the same. We are called as God's children to gather around His Word. And so we come here, and we hear God's Word proclaimed. We hear God's Word read and spoken. We've been called to gather around His promises, to receive the forgiveness of sins won for us on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, we have been called to gather here and to support our church. And yes, we are called to support our church financially. That's a part of what it means to be a member of Christ's church. To support it in the ways that we can. Through our talents, through our gifts, through our treasure, through our abilities. We have been called. But ultimately, did you notice that? That's one aspect of so many that we have been called to gather around God's promises and the gifts that He gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Toward the end of His life, there's a story, and I say a story because it's one of those stories that sounds right, it sounds good, it sounds like Luther actually said this one, but we don't actually have any pure verification that he was the one that said it, so we're not really 100% sure, but it sounds like it should be correct. Somebody towards the end of his life goes up to Luther and asks him, if you knew the end of the world was tomorrow, what would you do? And Luther responds by saying, I'd go plant a tree. You see, it sounds right. It sounds very fitting with Luther and his theology of vocation. You see, we've all been called to do things. And even if the end of the world happens to be tomorrow, and even if we somehow know it, we still do what God has called us to do. And if that means we're going to plant trees, and that's what we're called to do, we go plant trees. We are called as members of God's house, as God's children. And we are called to gather around His Word and His sacraments. We are called to use our gifts and our talents to benefit the church, to benefit others, and to benefit God's holy house. But ultimately, we are gathered to receive the very promises of God, that through the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have been given salvation. Through Jesus Christ, we have been granted the forgiveness of our sins and given the best gift, eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, let us stand as we... Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We have not always done as we should. Hear us, O Lord, as we confess our sins to you in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now continue as we confess.